Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Ha cha 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 cha.
This way to Bear Country. You'll know when you're there. As soon as you enter, you'll feel like a bear. A great grizzly bear. A Berenstain Bear.
We are the Berenstain Bears.
Mama!
Papa!
Sister! Brother!
We appreciate each other.
We live in a space level 3.
Mama, Papa, Sister, and me. Strongest buds in a space level 3.
Hello and welcome to the 57th episode of TuneCast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve Dion Mike, and today I'm joined once again with Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello.
Good evening.
You are not Dracula. Tonight we are going to be covering the Berenstain Bears. Well, I know that there was a 1985 series about these guys. I first started with these. I'm just kind of doing some just general. I'll wait till the general memories thing, but So what's been going on with you?
Not a lot. Still, like a couple weeks ago, still doing a lot of work around, not doing a lot of stuff on the computer, but I did, kind of forgot about this. I did just post a few weeks back, by the time this airs, a new top 10 list at behindthevoiceactions.com that everyone should go check out, as well as all my other top 10 lists. And the newest one that I've added is the top 10, I'm missing this way back when, I just never added it, but the top 10 animated duck voice roles, something I just added to the site. And I also have made a Facebook post on behindthevoiceactors.com, our fan page, which everybody should be a fan of so they can see our updates, basically asking what other people, what kind of top 10 lists other people would want to see, because I have lots of stuff I could do next. I got bears and dogs and cats and rabbits, and or I could go with some top 10 the '90s or different stuff like that. So, give me what you have to see as top 10 on my page and or on our page, and I'll work on that next. But top 10 ducks is up there right now.
I just had such a horrible idea, and you're going to kill me for me telling you this. The top 10 female cat voices of all time.
Shut up.
Especially the fetal ones.
I am going to do a top 10 cat voices, but it's not going to include Chitara.
Oh, come on.
There's way too many better ones out there.
So once again, you know, Kevin, of course, doesn't feel like printing out a 7. Ah, see, you can't complain about the script being too damn long this time, because this one's only 7 pages, whereas most of the other ones are like 14, 15, 25.
Yeah. our Christmas special script, I think, was 57 pages.
Was it really? Let me look. Well, we had, you know, we had 6 cartoons to talk about. Teamcast episode 30. Come on, load.
At least 40 pages long. But while you're looking for that, do you...
Oh, you're right. It's 47 pages long.
I was going to ask if you had a guess as to the top animated duck of all time.
The top what of all time?
Animated duck.
Oh, well, Scrooge, Donald, Huey, Dewey, Louie, Darkwing, Launchpad, Gizmo Duck, Daffy.
Louie number one.
Oh, God. It has to be a tie between Donald and Daffy, if only for their first ever and only collaboration in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, I think they are 1 and 2, but what put one over the top was the uniqueness in his voice, and that's Donald Duck.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's what I put at number one.
Very cool. Ooh, you know, it doesn't really count. I was going to say you should include Megatron's rubber ducky from Beast Wars.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, it did have a squeaky voice.
I did give an honorable mention to the entire show, the animated Mighty Ducks.
Oh, cool. All right, so getting into the history lesson here, not exactly sure where the history lesson ends. Holy crap. What the hell? Oh, no, I know what I did. I basically made this episode like M-Wire. It has none of the other categories.
I got a history lesson for you. Here we go. Berenstain Bears started as a bunch of popular children's books.
Wait, you printed out the script?
No, I didn't know Berenstain Bears.
Oh, jeez.
So it started as one popular book in the 70s. By editor illustrator Dan and Jan Berenstain. Between 1979 and 1984, there was a series of animated records which led into a series in September of 85, which ran until September of 87 on CBS, with Hanna-Barbera and some other people involved. And basically, after that, 16 years later, we had a second Berenstain Bears series on PBS in 2000. So, Bears has been around since the books way back in the 60s, they're in the 70s, so.
Yeah. You're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I remember reading these books. I think I remember the first two books of the 80s, like when they were out in the 80s, when they were really popular. I mean, I know they've been around since 62, but whatever the, I believe it was the, let me look here. Inspiration, Profession of Bears, Understand Popularity of Cover. Maybe I'll find it later, but whatever. It wasn't Golden Books that put these out. It was something through Scholastic that yeah. put them out. I think the first two books I ever had were Messy Room and Too Much TV. I love those books. There were so many of these. I always remember every time that, you know, in elementary schools in the 80s, and I know they still do this today now, you know, Scholastic would have, like, every 3 or 4 months during the school year, a book fair.
Oh, yeah.
And you could get your parents to, you know, either go or get your parents to fill out the order form and give you the money, you know. Because books back then, especially the Scholastic books, a lot of them, back then, if I remember correctly, they weren't that much money.
No, they weren't at all.
I mean, maybe $5-6? Something like that?
I don't even think it was that much.
No, I think it was more, because I remember now. I would say it was between $5 and $11, maybe, something like that. It just depended on the book. It depended on the category of book as well. But, you know, I remember getting a lot, you know, some of these through them. My cousin Rachel, Rachel Malone Briggs, she had almost all of them. I had not as many as she did, but she had almost the entire original collection. And I used to love reading all these books. It was just awesome. Actually, seriously, I think these were the first books I, like, started, like, reading, like, just reading to enjoy to read. And not really trying to learn to read. It was just awesome. And the cartoon series, they basically just animated the stories from the books.
Yeah, they did an excellent job of bringing the books to life.
Very much so. Very, very much so.
Yeah, just like you, I remember reading these books like a big time. I remember we had a ton of Golden Books. But I think, like you,
is one of the first high school books where I really started to enjoy reading.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There have been over 300 Berenstain Bears books that have been published since the 1960s. And the Bears have appeared in three animated series. The original series, the following NBC holiday specials were produced in the 1970s and early 80s. Berenstain Bears in the Christmas Tree, Berenstain Bears Meet Big Paw, The Easter Surprise, Valentine's Special, Littlest Leaguer, and then the 1985 series, The Berenstain Bears. The series was produced by Southern Star Productions in 1985 and featured two 11-minute stories per episode. While the first story to be shown was usually an adaptation of one of the books, a new story would make up the second half of the program. Some of these new stories prominently featured a villain in the form of Archweasel McGreed, who was out to, quote-unquote, take over Bear Country, Lock, Stock, and Honey Pot. Oh boy, I sense a Winnie the Pooh reference there. Unlike most of the characters from the books, McGreed was created entirely for the cartoon but managed to find his way into several novel books. Fremantle Media was licensed in 1985, was licensed to the 1985 TV series. The voice cast included Ruth Buzzy, Brian Cummings, Christina Lang, Josh Roden, David Mendelhall, and Frank Welker.
Ralphish Ralph.
Yeah, everybody loves Ralphish Ralph. And you know, earlier they mentioned Weasel McGreed. I do not remember Weasel McGreed in the cartoon. I remember Ralphish Ralph.
Yeah, I don't remember McGreed that much in the cartoon.
Yep.
You recognize David Mendenhall, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Refresh my memory. It's been a while.
He's I'm
going to
say the wrong one. Daniel or Spike from Transformers?
He's probably Spike. No. He's probably Daniel.
Yeah.
Spike was Corey Burton.
Yeah, so he was the other one.
Wow.
Yeah. And Brian Cummings is interesting. He was, imagine these two roles. Papa Bear, Dr. Mindbender.
Ooh. Yikes.
I'm pretty sure he did both of those, so that's kind of a weird combination. And Christina Lang obviously is from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Just an awesome cast, even though at the time I didn't know who was what and who was who in this. And honestly, when I was watching these, I was watching them for... I wasn't, trying to pay attention if Megatron was going to be Ralphish Ralph. Honestly, really. I mean, and again, it just goes to show you, and I will be saying this the entire time we are not doing any cartoons that don't involve Frank Welker. If we ever get to interview Frank Welker, my brain will explode trying to get research for that man. Because he's done so much.
Yeah, he's led up to 262 roles we have credit for
that. Oh, good lord. There was a 2003 series. The latter cartoon is currently running on PBS and internationally. It has since been released on DVD. The series also aired on PBS Kids with Seven Little Monsters from 2003 to 2004. Wait. The 2003 series is on DVD, but the 85 series isn't?
Right.
What the hell? apparently there have been appeared in a variety of computer software as well. The Berenstain Bears Camping Adventure for the Sega Genesis and Sega Game Gear, Berenstain Bears On Their Own and You On Your Own for the CDI, Berenstain Bears Learning at Home Volume 1 for the PC, Extreme Sports for the Berenstain Bears for Game Boy Color, and Berenstain Bears and the Spooky Old Tree for Game Boy Advance.
I know there's not many games on this franchise.
Yeah, well, five games. It's not bad.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
As far as a movie, USA Today and the Hollywood Reporter report that Sean Levy, director of both Night at the Museum movies, will direct a feature film adaptation of the Berenstain Bears. As a what?
Oh, God.
Wait! As a hybrid of CGI and live action that will place the Berenstain family in the modern world, release is planned for 2011. I have not heard anything about this.
Me neither, and I'm scared.
Anything about this.
Don't ruin Berenstain Bears.
Well, Sean Levy, one of the movies that I really liked that he did was Big Fat Liar with Frankie Muniz and, what's her name? Christ. She was in that WB show with, Christina Applegate, Kelly Bundy. Amanda Bynes, there you go.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
As far as some praise on the Bears here, over the years, the Berenstain Bears books have been the subject of much favorable comment from education professionals and the reading public. The Berenstains have the extraordinary ability to communicate universal experiences and uplifting messages, says Laurie Norton Moffat, director of the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. She told that to the New York Times in 2005. Conception and creation here is the last thing we're actually going to talk about. The authors have in the past stated that the parent bears merely reflected their own personalities. Papa and Mama are roughly modeled after us, Stan Berenstain said in a 1991 Philadelphia Inquirer article. I'm not quite as dumb as he seems to be sometimes, and Dan is not as quite as wise and patient as Mama, but she is Mama. I love the books. I love the 85 cartoon series. I don't think I've seen the 2003 series. I hope to... Go ahead.
I've seen a tiny bit of the 2003 series, and it seems very, 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 very similar to the 1985 series. Like, it's an updated version, but it's very close to the same thing. I mean, that's with me not seeing a lot of it. That's just from, like, a couple months. Just before you get too far, I got to ask you something before we forget to. I got to know which one's your favorite bear.
Honestly, there's too many to choose from. Because, it's one of those things where, honestly, I don't think there is a bad character in the books or in the cartoon series. Papa is, when Papa wants to be, he can be very wise and he can be helpful. But Papa is pretty much a giant size of Handy Smurf, pretty much. Mama, I don't think I could really stand her voice at the time when I was watching the cartoon series as a kid. Brother and sister, just the mischief that the two of them get into is really awesome.
Yeah.
Just out of the side characters, Ralphus Ralph is awesome.
I always liked Brother Bear the most when I was a kid, but I think when I was watching it back, I almost started liking Papa Bear more just because it was funnier and I could understand it. When I was a kid, I probably obviously related more to Brother.
It's really funny. When I was watching this as a kid, I would always see the My Buddy commercials. Now, wait. So I kind of associated Brother with My Buddy, and then, of course, once they came out with Kid Sister, obviously, Sister would be...
My Buddy.
I may have to find that audio. I may have to find that audio and put it in here. My Buddy and Kid Sister.
Nice.
I like them all. I think it's more of that I hope that they eventually put the 85 series on DVD so we can actually see it again without having to find it on YouTube. But one of the things was I got into the stories. Like, when I was reading the books, I really got into the stories. I felt like I was a fly on the wall, you know, watching them doing their stuff or adventures or whatever.
Yeah. I like these for, like, preschool, the kindergarten, first grade, second grade, you know, whatever age group, that I don't know how high they went up to, but, like, for that early time period, I think that they were my favorite. I mean, I love Golden Books, but I think the Berenstain Bears books were, like, my early favorite book. I liked them better than Dr. Seuss. I liked them, I don't know, I just loved the Berenstain Bears books.
Yep. My evolution of reading, as far as, like, reading for enjoyment, goes from Berenstain Bears to the Hardy Boys Case Files.
Yeah.
To R.L. Stine's Fear Street series.
You know you had some Choose Your Adventure somewhere in there.
Probably. probably. I'm not denying that. And then I think I started getting into Grisham.
I think the only one that you missed that I got into was the two things, the Encyclopedia Brown mysteries, and
I got into those,
and the Wayside Storybooks.
Oh, dude, I have that. I have the 3-pack collection for $12.22 on Amazon. I've got it
awesome.
Saved in my cart.
That's so awesome.
Oh man, did they ever make a cartoon out of Wayside?
No,
I could have sworn they did.
Oh, maybe they did in the 90s. I don't think they did in the 80s though.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to research that. We may have to make a. We may have to make an exception here on Tooncast, or you and I may have to do a Geekcast Radio episode on Wayside. I love me some Wayside.
That was the best thing ever.
Oh, jeez.
I remember reading that thing front to back, upside down, to cover, 18 times over.
You know what's funny? I remember, and I know we're getting way off topic here, but I remember reading, or I remember us either reading in class or the teacher reading to us Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
Yeah, I remember that a little bit.
And it wasn't, we weren't read Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
No.
I didn't actually know anything about that until I heard, you know, my fourth or fifth grade teacher said, hey, you know, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator is the sequel to Willy Wonka and the Child, I was going to say Willy Wonka and the Childlike Empress. Holy crap, that was horrible. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I actually found it on Amazon and I bought it. It's in the other room, but I sat down one afternoon and tried to reread it. I just couldn't follow it.
Yeah, I think I could still read the Wayside Stories.
Yeah, Wayside Stories are just hilarious.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
it all started with Berenstain Bears. That's the point.
Yeah. That's the whole point of that. It all started with Berenstain. So, on that note, we are going to go to some promos.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
This is the Brain, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Yes, indeed, I am, Michael, and I am here to help you and Kevin take over podcasting.
Now back to Tooncast.
So, what are your thoughts? Final thoughts on Berenstain?
Basically, I think, you know, I'm going to relate this back to a show we did a few weeks ago. Because a few weeks ago we did something kind of similar in a way, where we had a cartoon that was probably more successful as something else. When we did Teddy Ruxpin, it was a more successful toy.
Right.
And while I will say that Berenstain Bears was a more successful book than it was cartoon, the difference is that it was still a good cartoon.
Yeah.
And that they basically did a spot-on, perfect job of taking a book and taking the characters and making them look exactly alike and making it very believable as a cartoon. So it just is a good cartoon, and if you haven't seen it, you should see it. I think it still holds up the test of time as far as if you had preschool, kindergarten, first grade age kids. I mean, I don't know exactly what the age demographic is for Berenstain Bears, but if you had that age kid, it's just as good as Sesame Street and some of those things as just teaching your kids some basic values and lessons, and, you know, that type of stuff is timeless, so it's still a good thing.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I always, when I was in elementary school, I always craved that Scholastic Book Fair twice a year to
get
all of these books. and I wish I could hunt them down today. It would be so awesome to do so. Just to have that. I mean, yeah, I know I'm a 30-year-old guy, but still, it's nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Can't fault you for that.
Nope. You got anything you want to bring up for BBTA?
Stop by our Facebook page, tell me what kind of top 10 list you want to see, and, come check out the voice compares. We always like to see more comments and get more votes.
Yes. So thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com and behindthevoiceactors.com. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRN Tooncast, all one word. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Boss K-Dog.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. And for Behind the Voice Actors, just search Behind the Voice Actors. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast, and wish you'll join us next time when we have a super special guest in Christopher Stapleton from Chicken Pop Pod when we talk about Alvin and the Chipmunks. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Special guest on our program, introducing Lem.
Hey.
And Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you The District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.